It's no surprise that the first word that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was taught was read, iqra. And the theme of seeking knowledge would actually continue through the verses of the Quran and his statements, the ahadith. Today, many societal ills could be remedied by education, but for many, it's out of the reach for financial reasons. While for others, it is due to compound ignorance, thinking that they know when they really do not know. Today, we review the topic of education, the key to goodness. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for the 23rd day of the month of Ramadan. We're getting closer to the end of the month, but don't despair. There's still a long way to go till the end of Ramadan. There's still a lot of time to enjoy the blessings of God, to seek His forgiveness, to ask for Him for whatever you want, because the treasure chests of God are open in this month. And as we know, these last 10 days and nights are the epic time to really turn to God in a deeper level of reverence and love and asking for what we want, the goodness of this world and obviously the goodness of the world to come. You know, for the most part, those who live in developed countries around the globe have access to good and relatively inexpensive education. But unfortunately, you know, not all of us take advantage of this to further ourselves, both in the secular fields of knowledge and also Islamic knowledge. Obviously, some scholars don't like this delineation between secular and Islamic, because ultimately all knowledge is Islamic knowledge. But I hope you get what I'm saying. Unfortunately, many of us who live in this part of the world who have that access to knowledge, yes, it may be expensive for some, but unfortunately for those who have the ability, there are times where people don't make the use of what they have. As you know, we say in English that you never know a good thing until you lose it. But the question comes up also is, what about those people who are living in developing countries around the world? Those that are not as well off as, let's say, North America or parts of Europe or other parts of the world. What do they do? What is their situation? Well, statistics show us that approximately 60 million children living in the developing world, they don't have access to even basic education. Forget about university and post-secondary institutions. They don't even have access to the minimal basic education every single human being should be able to attain. The statistics further go on to say that 250 million children are unable to read, write, or count even after having gone through basic schooling. Now, obviously, the lack of or the barriers to education are many. The children and youth who are living in developing countries have their own unique challenges. Those who are blessed by God to live in developed countries, we have unique challenges and very heavy responsibilities. But if we focus on those in developing countries where they need the most help, we can say, what are their challenges? Why can they not attain the level of education that would allow them to come out of the situation that they are in to elevate themselves? You know, there are challenges such as distant schooling, overcrowded schools, unsafe because of, you know, drugs and wars and gangs that are involved. There could be a poor quality of teaching. There could be irrelevant curriculum and learning materials are just irrelevant or they're not even there for them. Unfortunately, again, many countries that are still in the developing part of the world, many of the countries don't want to put money behind For example, the infrastructure for healthcare and for education, it's rather spent on military armaments. It's spent on building lavish palaces for the heads of state. It's, you know, siphoned off and it's stolen by the elite. Sometimes there are pressures for the children to work to support the family because they can't make ends meet. You have school fees you have to pay, you have uniforms, you have supplies that millions of people around the world just cannot afford for their children. And so unfortunately, those children go without an education. And obviously for girls, the challenge is even more. Right? Children from certain minority ethnic groups where the extremist radical fringe in that religious or ethnic group feel that girls are not allowed to get an education. They prevent the girls from going forward and learning. Children with disabilities obviously are at a disadvantage when they live in developed parts of the world that don't even have the infrastructure for them. And obviously children are living in conflict areas, war-torn regions of the world where they are refugees moving from, you know, town to town, from camp to camp, from country to country at times. How can you study when you're being bombed into submission? It's impossible. And so, you know, again, these issues that we're bringing up in this Ramadan, they're not meant to be doom and gloom and sad scenarios, but they're meant to awaken us to challenges that humanity are facing. So that us who are living in developed parts of the world who may have expendable resources, not only money, I don't say, time, maybe books, maybe supplies we can donate to even local inner city schools, if not overseas in parts of the world that are developing and they need further assistance, we should be able to rise to the occasion and be able to contribute what little we can, whatever little we can. It doesn't have to be that we sponsor an entire village or an entire school. No, we start small and we work from there. But until we know the challenges, we can't go forward to come up with constructive solutions to deal with the problems that humanity are facing. Let me mention this as we continue and we conclude for today, that whereas we in the developed countries, we have made great strides in what I call the secular knowledge, I would say that we are still severely lacking in Islamic knowledge. We have not yet created the infrastructure and support of those who are able to and who are delivering sound Islamic knowledge, which, you know, I would say is as important, if not more important, than other forms of knowledge. We have not developed our own local institutions to further impart Islamic knowledge. We're still importing. We're still going to other countries to get that Islamic knowledge, which to an extent is a need. But we need to always look at how can we develop homegrown scholarship in our communities. Now, I don't say that there's nothing being done out there. You know, there's a great amount of work and a great quality of work being done by organizations in North America. And I would really be remiss if I didn't mention some of them, at least three that I think each and every one of you should go to their website, see the work they're doing, and financially support them if you feel passionate about what they're doing. And I will leave their links in the bottom in the description of this video, but let me also provide the names to you today. We have a great organization in Canada known as the Academy for Learning Islam, doing great work online, teaching courses from various perspectives, not just Islamic knowledge, but nutrition and health and many other areas. We have the Mizan Institute, based out of Texas in the United States, doing amazing, phenomenal work with a great platform of online learning resources for men and women. And the third is the Islamic Literacy, also based in the United States in Chicago, in the state of Illinois, doing great, tremendous work in not only publishing and translating and writing, but also offering online courses. And there are many more. I just singled these three out because they are the ones that I have some connections with. I recognize the scholars who work with them and I trust them and their mainstream Shia Ethnashidi scholarship that runs and that produces content in these organizations. Let me conclude with my verse for the day, from Surah Zumar, chapter 39, verse 9, where Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أمن هو قانت آناء الليل ساجدا وقائما يحذر الآخرة ويرجو رحمة ربه كل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. Is he who worships God devoutly in the watches and the darkness of the night, prostrating and standing, who fears the hereafter and hopes for the mercy of the Lord, to be likened to that other person? Say, are they ever equal, those who know and those who do not know? Only the people of discernment will reflect on the distinction between knowledge and ignorance, and obedience to God and disobedience, and will be mindful. As we have gone over the time limit, let me conclude with three reflective points for today, and I'll leave you, brothers and sisters, on this beautiful day of Ramadan. Point number one, for many, furthering their education is fraught with many difficulties. If we want to ensure that our community have access to the best resources, we need to invest in creating student scholarships, as well as developing our own local institutions of higher learning. Point number two is that seeking out correct knowledge on whatever area we are pursuing can only occur when we go right to the source. When it comes to secular knowledge, we make our ways to the best post-secondary institutions. And when it comes to Islamic knowledge, we must also go to the best institutions, both the traditional seminaries that have endured and nurtured our scholarship for 1,000 years of Qom and Najaf, and also those which are now being established in other parts of the world by respectable, mainstream Shia scholars. Point number three, I'll conclude with this, is that not all knowledge is beneficial. Some is detrimental to our spiritual well-being, and even some Islamic knowledge may be of no value. We need to ensure that we prioritize the streams of knowledge which we wish to tap into, so that we are going for that which will provide us maximum benefit. God willing, tomorrow we will continue and review another topic in Ramadan Reflections for 2021. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.